the Envision Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking about cross-platform development. If you're not a developer, then you may not actually be aware of what cross-platform development actually is. So if you haven't heard of it before, I mean, as the name kind of says, it lets you to develop something across platforms. And by platforms, usually it means operating systems. So for example, if you were making an app, then you would be able to make the same app for Android and iOS by using the same code. And obviously that applies if you're making like a desktop app, so for a computer, then it would work on Windows, macOS, and Linux. Now, obviously that, you know, is really important. That's not necessarily always how development has been. That's a much more kind of modern thing. And there have been frameworks around now for quite a while that let you do it. But I feel like, especially over the past few years, they've actually gotten quite good. Previously, if you wanted to make an app for iOS and Android, you would have actually had to write them completely separately. So you would have had code that's written in Swift, is the language that they use to create iOS apps, and you would have had to write your iOS app in Swift. And then you would release that and whatever, that would be available on the Apple App Store, people could use it on their iPhones, and then you would have to go and you would have to create a separate Android app using Java. There are other options now, you know, like Kotlin, and there's other ones, but previously you would write it in Java, you would make it available on the Google Play Store, etc., and then you would have to create a desktop app using whatever language you wanted to do that with, and you would have to create maybe a website using whatever language you wanted to use for that as well. And obviously you might have to write that desktop app for Windows, macOS, and Linux, possibly all separately. So that's obviously a lot of work. Okay, so why exactly is this important? Well, what it does, firstly, is it is very cost effective. So obviously, you're going to have to pay less in terms of development cost because you're not going to need separate what's called code bases for each platform. So a code base is essentially just the code that is used to create your app or website or whatever you're making. So instead of having one for iOS and one for Android, you now just have one. So obviously that's, you know, half the work. So it takes half the time in theory, and it should cost you half as much as well. Obviously, it also allows you to have a wider reach. So let's say previously you would have said, okay, actually we don't have the time or the budget to make an app for iOS and Android. Well, you know, you would just pick one. So let's say you pick Android, you know, that's all well and good. But that obviously limits your reach because now people who are using iPhones can't use your app. And that's obviously a big problem. So it actually lets you expand your reach by allowing you to release on multiple platforms just from one single code base. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when you use an app on an iPhone and then you use it on an Android phone, it can be quite different because maybe they have slightly different features, the buttons are in slightly different places, you know, whatever it might be. But obviously, this will create a much more consistent user experience because the app is the exact same, essentially anyway, on either platform. So you don't have this kind of inconsistency that you might have from having, let's say, two different development teams work on two different versions of your app, you know, one for iOS and one for Android. It's just, you know, the one team, well, obviously you might have multiple teams working on one app, but it's essentially one group of people just working on this one app. And no matter what platform you're on, it's going to look the same and it's going to function the same, which is obviously really important. I'm going to mention the cross-platform development framework that we actually use here at Envisionly for making desktop apps. They actually do have mobile app support, I believe. They've basically just added it. It's not fully ready yet, as far as I'm aware. You can't do everything with it just yet, but the desktop app experience is really great. So this is a framework called Tori. Now, it's used for making desktop apps mainly, so for Linux, Windows, and macOS. Now, it's mainly meant to build lightweight and secure apps. But it is actually doing so using the same sort of languages you would use to make a website. So let's say you're a web developer and you make websites. You would usually use HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to make those. Well, what Tori actually lets you do is it lets you use those same languages to develop your desktop app. Now, it actually does also use another programming language called Rust, but that's more so for the background parts of your app. The, like, what's called front end, so the bit that the user would see, is using those same sort of web technologies. And because of that, you can actually use different frameworks with it, which frameworks, at least in terms of websites, are essentially tools that will allow you to make a website easier and faster and might introduce features that aren't necessarily part of HTML or JavaScript. So those are things like React and SvelteKit. There's a lot of them, but you can actually use those as part of developing a Tori application, which is obviously great because it means you don't need to have a whole team of people who are experts in developing desktop applications, or they don't need to learn a whole new programming language necessarily to be able to develop a desktop app. So some of the sort of key features here are that it has a lightweight architecture. And this means that, for example, there's another desktop cross-platform framework called Electron, and it's been around for quite a while. It's actually used in a lot of very popular applications like VS Code, which, if you're familiar with coding at all, that's Visual Studio, Visual Studio Code specifically. That is actually built with Electron. However, Tori apps are actually a lot smaller than Electron apps, and that's at least partially due to the separation of front-end and back-end. As I mentioned, you write the back-end kind of in Rust and the front-end in your kind of web-based languages. For example, a Tori app could be as small as 2 megabytes, while a similar Electron app actually might exceed 100 megabytes. And that's, you know, similar apps. It's a little bit hard to obviously do apples to apples there because it's a little bit different, but it is a significant difference. Tori also uses Rust, so that means that in terms of security, it can be really, really kind of ahead of other frameworks. Rust actually has really great memory safety, which means that the actual data that's kept in memory will, you know, it's going to be written to and from memory in a safe manner. It's not going to overwrite anything. It's not going to get overwritten. It's not going to try and write too much or anything like that, which are really common problems in sort of lower level programming languages, which does actually help enhance the application security as well. It also helps to reduce common vulnerabilities such as buffer overflows, which again is really common in lower level languages. So the performance of Tori is also quite good. Again, because it uses Rust, it will actually be able to compile directly to native code. So what that means is, so with some frameworks, they don't necessarily run properly on, for example, Linux, macOS, and Windows all together. Well, with Tori, you don't really have that problem because it will actually take the code that you've written and it will compile it specifically for each platform so that it will be using what's called native code. So that is code that can run directly on the operating system. So it will run properly in Windows, macOS, and Linux, all from the same kind of code base. It also uses resources very efficiently, so it's far more responsive. You don't get that lagginess that people can also often experience with Electron. Obviously, a lot of kind of lightweight productivity tools, such as SimpleNote, could benefit from Tori's kind of small size and efficiency gains there. Because people, when they're doing something quick, like taking a note, they don't want to have to open the app and wait for it to open, and then they're trying to click around and it's a bit laggy and slow. If you're trying to take a note, you usually want to do it quite fast. So you want to click on it, it opens, you click on new note, and you just type it in, and you're done. You don't want to have to wait around or anything like that. So using frameworks like Tori can actually be really useful for these sort of more modern desktop projects. Tori applications can be 2 or 3 times smaller than equivalent Electron apps. So obviously that means that they can be a lot faster to download, and they will require a lot less disk space. And it can be way more than that as well. It just, again, it depends. It's a little bit hard to do an exact comparison here, just because they are quite different in how they function. But I mean, even if it's 2 times smaller, that's half the size. You know, that is a really big deal, especially when you're making a cross-platform app. You don't know what kind of resources somebody's going to have on their computer, because a lot of Linux machines might be run as like a what's called a VM, which is a virtual machine. So it's not actually it's essentially a little small version of Linux that runs. So it's not, the whole computer isn't running Linux, maybe only a small part of the computer is running Linux. So it only has access to a small amount of resources on the computer. So instead of just having, one version of Windows running on your computer, you could have, 6 different little versions of Linux running, if you want to think about it like that. Now, Electron, as I mentioned a few times now, is also used for a very similar thing, essentially. It's also used for creating cross-platform desktop apps using web technology, so it is very similar to Tori. As I mentioned, it does have a few problems, and that is partially just because it is not as modern as Tori. It doesn't use Rust or anything like that, but it's a very similar tool. So when you hear me talk about Electron, it is very similar, at least the kind of purpose of it. Now, I will say, the thing about Electron is it has been around for quite a while now, so it has a very strong ecosystem and has a lot of plugins available for it, because it has quite a large community built up around it. It also has full access to native APIs, so that does mean that it can be very versatile, and it does work quite well across any desktop operating system, despite the problems that I've mentioned before. As I mentioned before, applications like VS Code and also Slack actually is also built using Electron. So it's clear that it's not, just used for making small projects. It's used by really big companies for really big, very popular apps. So as I mentioned before, a big drawback is the higher application size and much higher resource consumption. For example, RAM is often kind of used a lot more than the equivalent in really most other frameworks. Electron is really known for its kind of resource intensiveness. Another one here is Flutter. So Flutter is actually specifically made by Google, and that is made to kind of build native UI applications across mobile, web, and desktop. So Flutter is very versatile. You can make a website, a desktop app, and a mobile app all at the same time. It's actually quite cool. There's been some controversy around Flutter and a lot of that team, I believe, being let go recently. So I don't know what the future of Flutter is going to look like. And I personally have tried Flutter out a few times, and I haven't been the biggest fan. Not that it's not good, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that like it. Just I personally wasn't as big of a fan as I am of some other frameworks out there. Flutter actually uses the Dart programming languages, language, which compiles directly to native code again. So again, it can be quite, it's very versatile in the platforms that it can run on, and it works quite well on those platforms. It does offer a kind of rich set of pre-designed widgets for fast UI development. So instead of having to build everything from the ground up yourself, Flutter will actually include a lot of those kind of common UI elements for you so that you don't have to build them all every time. It's very ideal for mobile apps that require a consistent UI, such as Google Ads, I believe is built using Flutter. So again, very big project there, and there are many apps out there that use Flutter. It is rather common for mobile app development. In terms of desktop app development, I'm actually not sure how common it is, but it is quite common for mobile app development. As I said, because it is cross-platform, and if you know the Dart programming language, then Flutter is probably going to be really good for you. Now, the next one on this list, React Native. This is actually another one that I like. And even despite the fact that I don't use React for web development, I actually quite like React Native. So this one is more so specifically for developing mobile apps specifically, and it uses React, which is a programming language / framework that is mainly used in web development. Well, that is used in web development. But what React Native does, hence the name, is it attempts to make native apps using React. So if you're a React web developer, it's quite likely that you'd be able to pick up React Native and create yourself a mobile app. So a nice thing about React Native is that it supports hot reloading. So as soon as you make a change, it will be reflected in the mobile app that you are creating. And now some of these other frameworks do actually include that feature as well, just to mention, but React Native is very good about hot reloading. It also allows access to native components. So you can actually specifically access components specific to Android or iOS directly in your app, which is great. You can also write custom code as well if you need to write something specifically for Android or something specifically for iOS. That is quite easy to do in React Native, and it makes it really, really easy. Applications like Instagram and Airbnb really benefit from React Native because they get that kind of native look and feel. So it looks like they're meant, like they were created specifically for iOS or Android specifically, and they work really well on those platforms. I'm just going to mention it because it's not actually in the notes today, and I think I have maybe mentioned it before. Another kind of alternative to React Native, which I quite like, is NativeScript. I haven't had a lot of experience with it, but it seems quite cool, and definitely worth taking a look at if you're interested in web development. I mean, in mobile development. So another one here is Xamarin. Now, this one is actually from Microsoft specifically. So this is, again, used for making mobile applications, but this uses C#. So a lot of the ones on this list, frameworks on this list, have been specifically for web developers that would be used to using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, whereas C# is used in a technology called .NET, typically anyway. So this is a different approach and a much more Microsoft approach for sure. So if you are more familiar with something like C#, then Xamarin is definitely a kind of good choice there. It does also provide the capability to share your code against iOS, Android, and Windows. So you can still develop for desktop apps as well as your mobile apps as well. It's not quite as wide a variety as some of the other frameworks that we've mentioned, but it is very cool that you can have those kind of multiple platforms there. It also has very strong integration with Visual Studio. Now, not Visual Studio Code, Visual Studio is something completely different. And yes, I hate that they're named so similarly, but here we are. Visual Studio is actually a completely different project to Visual Studio Code, and it actually works really well with the Xamarin framework. Again, because Visual Studio is owned by Microsoft, so they've made sure that it works really well there with their own products. It's very useful for existing, for enterprise applications where maybe you already have a team of developers that are familiar with .NET. So maybe you've made .NET applications in the past and you want to transition into making more mobile applications. Well, then Xamarin would definitely be a great choice for that kind of team to be able to transition easily to making those. Now, there's a lot of other ones such as Aparch, Cordova. Which again, there are a lot of ones. There's a lot of other frameworks that I'm not going to mention. There's ones using Python and all sorts of other languages, but we're not going to get too far into those because we could spend all day talking about the different kinds of frameworks and the different ones that are out there. Those are just a few of the more popular ones that you may see mentioned and kind of some of the differences between them. Now, I've really kind of talked about the benefits of cross-platform development here, but just to clarify, there actually are a few kind of challenges that you might face with cross-platform development. Performance limitations can often be a problem, especially with some of the frameworks that I've mentioned. Some of the frameworks will not kind of provide the same performance as if you were to write a dedicated application. So, for example, if you're using Electron to make a Windows application, it is quite likely that it will actually be far more resource intensive and also slower and larger than if you were to write that directly for Windows instead of using a framework. Now, I said some of these frameworks do kind of work around this problem, but it's just something to be aware of when you are picking a framework or deciding what you want to do. It is really important to kind of consider, is this going to be, you know, who is this application for? Is it going to matter that it's a little bit slower? In general, it does. There's very few cases where it doesn't. And kind of being aware that maybe writing a native application is sometimes the best solution. Obviously, if you need specific access to native features, so let's say you need to access a specific feature on Windows. It is not necessarily guaranteed that the framework will support that. And that means that you might have to either, number one, not support that thing you hope to support, or number two, you will have to write some native code anyway. A lot of these frameworks support you being able to write code directly for a platform. So for example, with Electron, let's say, if you wanted to write specific code that would only run and work on Windows, you would need to then do that on Windows, and then you might need to repeat the process for macOS and Linux, which would obviously defeat the purpose a little bit for using a cross-platform kind of framework like Electron. Now, this kind of may need to happen for things like push notifications and GPS. Those are very common kind of use cases where you'll run into those sorts of issues. There can also be some user experience concerns here, because ensuring a consistent kind of design can be a bit challenging when kind of working with various screen sizes and resolutions. As you know, across different platforms, you might have a very differently sized screen or resolution, so it can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes to ensure that your app looks good across all those screens and will function correctly across all of them, and making sure that it adapts correctly to different screen sizes. It can be a lot of extra work. Obviously, you're going to have to do a lot of testing across a lot of different kinds of devices. It won't just suffice to test it out in a few browsers or to test it out on one or two phones. You're going to need to test it out on a lot of different devices that are very differently sized and have very different resolutions. So that's worth bearing in mind as well. So in terms of the kind of future of these cross-platform frameworks, well, developers have kind of, the interest for these have kind of increased among developers, especially for frameworks like Tori, as developers try and balance performance, size, and security in their applications. It's becoming more and more important as users become more and more, I suppose, used to having that very fast experience. If an app takes a while to load now, it's possible that somebody may just uninstall your app and not use it. So it's really important to consider that, and especially security nowadays. There is a lot of regulation in place around user data and obviously having your app not be too large. Again, all very real concerns that were definitely, you know, concerns in the past, especially the app size, but are definitely becoming more and more important as time goes on and users' expectations increase. Users aren't willing to wait around 10 seconds for a website to load anymore. They're willing to maybe wait like a second or two, and that's it. And that's a website. You know, they want an app to work even faster than that in reality. Now, this kind of increased demand will kind of cause a lot more innovation in the space. So you can expect to see a lot more frameworks like Torii, React Native, Electron, etc. to kind of keep showing up. And it's quite possible that they'll keep getting better and better like they usually do. Obviously, sometimes you'll see a new framework, it seems great, and it doesn't actually necessarily go anywhere. But every once in a while, a new one will come out and it will kind of change how everything works. So again, it is important to kind of keep up to date on that, and it is likely that we will see more and more of these frameworks, especially using technologies and languages like Rust. As I said, Rust is very performant, it's very secure, and a lot of people would say that that is the programming language of the future. I mean, that's essentially it for this episode. Obviously, if you are interested, then please do go check out Torii and some of these other frameworks mentioned if you're a developer. If you're not a developer, that's totally fine as well. Obviously, if you have any experience with any of these frameworks, please feel free to share them and let me know what you think of these different frameworks. And maybe you don't like them at all. Maybe you specifically like developing native applications, or you love them and you would never develop a native application again. Maybe you've had a problem with React Native and you hate it. So, as I mentioned, that's kind of all the information that we have for today, just to give you a brief overview of cross-platform development. Obviously, there are other considerations, there are other frameworks, and there's a lot more to talk about, but I just kind of wanted to mention it because, you know, I don't want to say surprisingly enough, but often enough, I do still hear of people using Android Studio to develop a specific Android app, or they're writing an iOS app in Swift, or whatever it might be. So, oddly enough, some people aren't necessarily aware of these options, or they're still kind of resistant to using these frameworks, and it's not necessarily because they're better or worse, sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse, but some people kind of don't necessarily feel like it's as good, because maybe they tried it at once a couple of years ago and haven't used it since, but obviously there's been a lot of progress in that time, so I think it's important to kind of keep up to date on these things. And maybe in a few years, cross-platform frameworks will be way worse and everybody will be back making native applications. But for right now, this is definitely the trend in the software industry. And I personally don't think that's going to change. If anything, I feel like native application development is going to become less and less of a thing, and these cross-platform frameworks are going to become more and more popular. As always, this has been the Envision Tech Podcast. I've been your host, Paul Gagan, and I will see you all next week.